Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
We are back, everybody. Scott Beeson Radio. I know we lost some of our listeners. Clark, if you want to call back, that's up to you, man. The phone number here, 833-687-4448. I am filling in for Phil Williams. Phil will be back on Monday. Just go ahead and tell you I appreciate him letting me fill in. We served together in the Alabama legislature, in the Senate, for a few years. I left, and I think he served four more after I left, and then he became a reformed politician, honest individual, and is now doing radio as well. So I have a radio program you can listen to at scottbeesonradio.com from 9 until 12, Monday through Friday. And check it out. We've got the list of the stations there, so you can hear us over there. And then in the afternoons, switch over and listen to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. One of the things I want to talk about, and I don't know how much y'all talk about it on this show, but since the beginning of the Ukraine-Russia conflict, I have taken one of the less popular positions from the very, very, very beginning. Many of you who still watch at least the nighttime host on Fox News, I think Tucker Carlson, pretty solid. I think most people would agree Tucker Carlson is pretty solid. Most people would be like, on the Sean Hannity thing, not 100% sure. Sean might be the, how would you say it? I would say he's the Lindsey Graham of Fox News. Maybe is that okay? Does that make sense, Boomer? Maybe he's kind of the Lindsey Graham. He's rah rah fuck, rah, tough, rah, rah. And then every once in a while he's just like, where'd you go? What happened? What are you with us or are you not? That kind of thing. But from the very, very beginning, I've had questions about the legitimacy of what we have been told about the Ukraine. Now, Ukrainian people, I think, are fantastic people. Okay? Solid people. A lot of us know people who may have came from there. We know people who do mission work there. We know people who've been involved, adopted folks from the Ukraine, etc. Good people. Now, I'll say something that also will bother some folks. I think regular Russian folks, good folks. You know, it's not the regular people that get us into these conflicts. It is the people in the government that get us into these conflicts. That's what happens. And so when it comes to Russia-Ukraine, from the very, very beginning, I had questions. Like, why are we not getting the rest of the story? Why are we automatically saying that this Zelensky guy is some great, wonderful humanitarian leader who's just looking out for the rights of his people? I mean, this is the guy that made all the opposition parties illegal. This is the guy that already shut down most of the quote-unquote free press in his country. Anybody who was disagreeing with him, out of business. Then you start looking at what happened when the government changed in Ukraine, the involvement of the United States in that 2014 quote-unquote color revolution where they decided, hey, we don't want the guys that are close to the Russians. We want the guys that are close to the Americans. And you find out the CIA is involved. You find out that we have bio labs. The government of the United States says, no, that's just crazy. That's just crazy right-wing conspiracy thinker stuff. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we might have some. Well, how many we got? 2, 3, 4? Surely we don't have 6 or 7 in the Ukraine. Oh, no, it's like 20-something. Oh, by the way, Boomer, for people who want to know, do you know we have these bio labs all over the place? All over the world? The United States Department of Defense / intelligence community / Pentagon is involved in bio labs all over the world. And we run around and say things like, well, you know, we're really here to make sure we don't have an outbreak that kills all the chickens. We got some veterinary issues there. We're literally doing that. One of the Central American countries, God, was it Panama or Nicaragua? I think it's Nicaragua, invited the Russians just a couple of months ago. I had the article, we talked about it on my show, invited the Russians to come in and say, hey, tell us what they're doing over here in this bio lab that's in our country. But somehow that just doesn't make the mainstream media in our country. So what people get is this weird thing. And early on, I said, the Ukrainians are going to get their backsides handed to them. The Russians are winning. Every day, the news, oh, the Ukrainians are really, oh, they're putting it on the Russians. It's going to be over. Going to be over in 2 weeks. The Russians aren't even going to be able to handle it. Not even going to be able to hack it. Oh, they're so disjointed. They don't even have communications. Oh, they don't even have enough people. Oh, they're blowing up tanks. Crazy. Thousands of Russians dying. Over and over and over. And then if you go to other international news sources, dare you even look at something from a Russian news source, you're like, wait a minute. This doesn't seem right. See, it's my belief that thinking people should be allowed to hear every different side. It should be like a court case on TV, because I'm not saying the court cases in real life are this way, but a court case on TV, you get to hear the prosecution, you get to hear the defense, you get to hear the whole thing. You got Perry Mason, you got Matlock, you got whoever. I don't know any of the people in the more modern shows because I just quit looking at it because I kind of got put out, born, that's one of my producers, Boomer, with the whole thing that was, we've had 20 years of the superheroes in our culture are either doctors or attorneys. Have we not? They're awesome. Attorneys are awesome. Every TV show, awesome. They're great. They're always looking for the truth. Anyway, but I personally believe that Americans should be able to see both sides. We should be able to see our propaganda, which we didn't even know was propaganda, but it was. And then we should be able to see the other side, and we should be able to weigh those and go, wait a minute, that something's weird. Something's not off. I think somebody might be lying. And we went through this stage here in the United States where we said, well, it's the fog of war. So, we don't know who to believe. And then it comes out that the United States admits that they were lying to us. I'll give you a reminder. Remember when they were saying something, I think it was Vladimir Putin's health. Or maybe it was Vladimir Putin would be overthrown by the oligarchs. When it was proven that that was bull, our government takes this out and says, well, we were just playing mind games with Vladimir Putin. That's what we were trying to do. We were trying to scramble. It was psychological warfare with the Russians. So we weren't lying to you Americans. We were trying to get him all flustered. That's what we were doing. I'm like, dude, you were lying to me. You do that over there, but I want to know what's really going on. So here's how it goes. So I'm just giving you the history of where I've been. I've looked at all kinds of videos on the internet, people documenting things. We were one of the first shows that was saying, hey, look, I'm not 100% sure the Russians. Now, look, they're not saints. Don't get me wrong. But I really don't believe that they're just randomly bombing schools. I don't believe they're just randomly bombing, this house in a residential neighborhood. I just don't think they're wasting their munitions doing that. And I had this sneaky feeling. I said, what if the Ukrainians are using civilians as human shields? What if they're doing the same thing the slime balls do in these terrorist countries? Where they're out putting in a roadside bomb and they surrounded themselves with little kids so the American sniper won't take a shot. Y'all saw that movie, right? It's the same thing as, hey, all the terrorists, let's all go hang out in the mosque. So if the Americans blow up the mosque, we can say, oh my gosh, they blew up the mosque. Oh no. They were just blowing up religious facilities, blowing up the schools. So I kept saying, look, something's going on here. And you would see these videos where Ukrainian people were going, hey, look, the things that hit our buildings, the Russians were over here and the Ukrainians were over there. And the people, the shells that hit our building came from over there. It wasn't the Russians. It was Ukrainians shooting at us. And we're Ukrainian. Those kinds of things were all over the internet, but where was it in the news? So we've got this story. I'd say all that to get to this point. So we got to take a quick break. public broadcasting, the PBS NewsHour had a little story that for them to start saying some of this stuff is kind of a real shift in the narrative. So if you'll stick with us on the other side, I'll tell you what they're saying. Just about one of their stories. No big deal. But it gives me one of those chances to go, you know, I might be right, which I greatly enjoy. We'll be back. Thumbs up, I'm like, oh, everything's good, no problem. No, I know I'm on. I'm talking to you. It's on purpose. Boomer has to tell me when to go. My guys at my show just do the point. They're like, go, Scott. Boomer does a thumbs up, and I literally, every time he does thumbs up, I'm like, oh, great, thanks. I'm doing a fantastic job. Yay.
I'll start and pointing.
The signals I can't get. All right, the point I can get.
Is it this type of point? Like, yes, I'm actually pointing at you?
Yes, point right at me. Like, go. Go.
Got it.
Speak. You're on. Scott. All right. Sometimes they have to do the hand wave that's like, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Quit talking. The show is on. But it's okay. I'm not a professional. I will never be a professional. I'm here because I enjoy it, and I'm here because I hope you enjoy it. So here's the rest of the story. Now, Boomer has some connection. I think Phil has some connection to the Ukraine. So I want to get a little bit of response here. I'm looking at a piece by, who wrote this piece here? Got to scroll up. Larry Johnson. Now, Larry is talking about the fact that the PBS NewsHour, used to be the McNeil Lehrer show or NewsHour way back in the day. So this is public broadcasting. This is the heart of the mainstream media. I mean, this is like a religious spot. This is, I don't want to say Mecca, somebody will get insulted, but something like Mecca for journalists. So the reporter is in the Ukraine. The Ukrainians are saying, hey, look, the Russians, they hit this civilian apartment building. You've heard that before, right? And the video was so rough because he's like, hey, what is that smell? Which apparently is dead bodies, okay? Burnt and dead bodies and all this kind of stuff. And the so he's there to do the whole thing. Hey, the Ukrainians say the Russians have bombed this residential building and you know, it's awful. They're still committing war crimes, etc. The PBS reporter, I don't know if he goes off script, if he's just being honest, or the third possibility is that PBS is preparing Americans and preparing journalists for the truth that they have not been telling for this entire time. Because lo and behold, the PBS reporter says something along the lines of, that's weird, because the bodies, some of these bodies being pulled out look like they were Ukrainian soldiers. Why are there all these military shoes and pieces and decals of uniforms? Hmm? Then they end up with another person telling them that, oh, no, this place was full of Ukrainian military. One person says maybe up to 30 members of the Ukrainian military were killed. Person who didn't want to be identified is like, no, that's not true. Oh, okay, so it's not true. It must have been civilians. No. The part about 30. I think it was more like 50. So here's the thing. We have been talking about this, and we've been talking about, I bet you didn't know this either, Boomer. Remember when the first couple of big news things came out in America and the Russians had bombed I think it was an elementary school, and then the Russians had fired missiles into a hospital, and war crimes, got to do war crimes. Most Americans don't know that the Russians were already at the United Nations going, hey, here it is. Let's have a little hearing on this. We'll show you what we got. We'll show you the satellite pictures. We'll show you the military equipment rolling in and out of there. We'll show you the soldiers walking in and out. This is who we blew up. I can't help it if they're hiding in a hospital. Let's go. Let's have it. You know who blocked them from having those proceedings? Our good old buddies in Great Britain. Now, you can find it. Americans can find that. They can go look at the proceedings at the UN and dig around and find that. Find the Russians saying, hey, yeah, absolutely, let's have it. Let's talk about it. Let's get it on right now. We'll show you what we got. We'll show you what we've got from the biolabs. We'll show you all these things. Let's do it. But Americans don't know it because our press doesn't want to know it, doesn't want us to know it. But I'm telling you, when these stories start coming out from public broadcasting saying, huh, looks like the Ukrainians weren't exactly telling us the truth, that means things are changing. What they're preparing the American public for, in my opinion, is that, well, maybe we won't get all these war crime prosecutions. And maybe the Ukrainians aren't actually going to win. And, oh, the Ukrainians didn't win? Oh, probably because they had started to be, maybe they began to be dastardly. Maybe we shouldn't be on their side. It really is a fascinating change. A lot of people missed it. But when public broadcasting is beginning to say, hey, look, the Ukrainians said that the Russians were firing into a residential building, but it was a residential building full of Ukrainian military, that changes the narrative. That changes the story. The Ukrainians begin to look like the people being dishonest. I don't think this is on accident. I think it's because they know where things are going. And they're just trying to back out, trying to figure a way to get out of this. And I've said the whole time, the Ukrainians need to plea for peace. Because my feeling is, I just look at it from a human nature standpoint. If I'm Russia, if I'm Vladimir Putin, every inch of ground I take that's extra because Ukraine won't, you know, the Russians sued for peace months ago. They said, hey, look, we're going to take this Donbass part. Look, y'all give us the Donbass region and we'll be done. That's what we said. Y'all promised to be neutral. Y'all kick the CIA out. We'll trade with you. Everything will be good. Let's just stop this. Ukraine said no. Ukraine is literally getting their heads handed to them. I mean, it's bad. There are videos of them, of the Ukrainian authorities, literally catching people on the street, young people on the street, and saying, hey, guess what? You're in the army. Get ready to go fight. When you're down to that, I saw the numbers like the average age of the Ukrainian military that's left. I'm prime. I'm 52. So it looks bad. But I'm telling you, every inch that Russia gets because they've just been there that long, they're not giving back. So there'll be less and less of Ukraine to even negotiate for. But never fret. Zelensky's got his green t-shirt on, doing some photo shoots with Vogue. But I'm just saying, we should be prepared for having been lied to for months and months. We only got 30 minutes left. Stick with us. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Give us a call.
Ronald Reagan said, if we are to guard against ignorance and remain free...
Welcome into the program. I've got to sit back down. You're supposed to stand for the national anthem, and I didn't know they were going to start it, but Sweet Home Alabama. I think we should make it the national anthem, at least the first, like, 20 seconds. After that, it gets kind of long. I'm like, it's not as long as Freebird, but goodness gracious, it does kind of drag on a little bit, but it's one of my favorites. I love it when I go somewhere else. I was out of the country a couple different times, and they played Sweet Home Alabama at whatever functions. And I'm telling you, you may not know it, but because of that song, some of the places you go around the world in Europe, they're like, you're from Alabama? Really? They're like, yeah. Oh, man. That song and the Alabama Crimson Tide, big in other parts of the world. They'd love that hat. That hat would be worth money in Europe, Boomer. No doubt about it. Let's go to the phones. Brian in Huntsville, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening.
Well, happy Friday to all of you gentlemen. And that the song sends Neil Young running back to Canada every time.
Hey, that's fair enough. Not my favorite person, for sure. Roll Tide.
Just, I wanted to ask something about Joe Biden. Actually said he was holding off funds for Ukraine when he was vice president of the United States. And then he bragged about it when they capitulated.
He did, absolutely. And many Americans don't realize there's a audio of him giving a speech where he says that he went there and he told them that they weren't going to get their $1 billion unless they fired the prosecutor that was looking into his son and Burisma. And, first they were like, well, you can't do that. And he said, well, just call the White House or call the president and see. And then he goes, and son of a, they did it. I mean, he's right there saying it. That's one of the other things about the Ukrainian government.
Yeah.
A lot of people are making the allegation that one of the reasons Ukraine is so important to swamp officials in the United States is that's where the money laundering scheme goes on. We send them billions, and it kind of flows through their corrupt politicians and might flow out to other people, and that's the questions people are asking. And if you remember, Brian, Donald Trump asked about, hey, what's going on over there in Ukraine? And the Democrats in this country impeach him or try to. Did they make it once or twice or whatever? They bring up impeachment proceedings. I can't even keep up anymore. Fine. For asking, hey, are these people corrupt? And they blew it out of proportion. And the family that is corrupt gets a pass. And that's what we're living in right now.
We could use some of the money we sent to Ukraine to defend Taiwan right now. Have a great day.
Great point. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. A lot of people forget how much of a swamp the Ukraine is. And a lot of people don't ask the question, why were we so involved? Why do we care so much? Why was the CIA there? Why were we training the Ukrainian military? Why was the Ukrainian military staffed up and led by legitimate, real Nazis, people who call themselves Nazis, people who idolize the Nazis? Why was there an Azov battalion? Why were they terrorizing Russian-speaking people in the Donbas region? All kinds of crazy things. I'm telling you, Boomer, you might not believe it at this point, but as you dive deeper in, if you made a list of, hey, this is what one side has done, this is what the other side has done just over the past 15 years, and you don't tell people which is Russia and which is the Ukraine, I'm telling you, Americans looking at that list with no biases, it's a blind test, would go, holy crap, the bad guys are the Ukrainians. / the Americans, / the CIA, because we did all sorts of things. How many people realize and know, I think it was the week before Russia invades, Zelensky goes out and says something brilliant like, oh, heck yeah, we're going to get nuclear weapons. We don't care what Russia says. We're going to get nukes. What do we think the Russians are going to say? Oh, that's wonderful. Huh, we appreciate you doing that. No. That's not going to be the response. We talked about a little bit about it yesterday. The big push for Finland and Sweden to join NATO. If they didn't have to join NATO during the entire time there was the Soviet Union, the evil empire, if they didn't have to join NATO then, why would they join NATO now? Or is it just to poke the Russian bear? Just to put a finger in the eye. And what I don't understand about Europe is not prepared for a war. They are not prepared for a battle. We think we're soft and we are screwed up. I love the military, but our military is screwed up. We are spending military resources on training the Navy on the proper pronouns to use for seamen. Really? we're paying for sex change therapy, transgender surgeries for people in the military. We have men wearing skirts, Clinger from MASH, in charge in places in the military. I mean, we've lost our minds. The military is a big social experiment. There are some great people in the military, solid warriors who love America. But it is being run by some crazy folks. I'm sorry. And I have friends who are in the military or were in the military, and they struggle with it. They really, really, really struggle with it. And I love them. I never served. So I don't have that loyalty that comes from the brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? Where they've gone through all these things together. Kind of like you do if you're on a football team and y'all had the tough coach and you did the two-a-days and three-a-days and you snuck in extra practices and you did all this stuff and you're all throwing up and all that kind of stuff. Builds a brotherhood. These guys that went and fought in combat, that's brotherhood. And for them to see what's happening to their branch of the service, I mean, like, oh, my gosh, it's tough. I'll talk about things on my show, and some of them will literally, that can't be right, Scott. That would never happen in my branch. 3 or 4 weeks later, they're like, get a load of this. I send a text, or they send a text to me, look. You know, they found somewhere else that backs up what we've been talking about. We've got some real problems. The years and years, the decades of being elite and so far ahead of the rest of the world have kind of spoiled us. We spend tremendous amounts of money for what we get. I saw another story or article about how much bang for the buck the Russians are getting in their military. You know, they build their own stuff for the most part. Remember how we were told that, oh, man, the West is going to cut off Russia. We're going to crush their economy. They won't be able to handle it. They're like all these other little European countries. If we cut them off, woo, they're going to be in bad shape. Well, then I saw something that said that Russia, for the last at least 20 years, has been focusing on making sure they do their own manufacturing, making sure they do as much as they can in-house, making sure that they are self-sufficient and self-sustaining, knowing that one day the West would go, you're cut off. So who's suffering more, Russia or Germany, Russia or France? We'll see. Winter's coming. Did you see the story that BASF, you know, what is it, BASF? We don't make things. No, we make things better. Well, I don't remember what it is. You know their commercial. Because you're like, what? Who are they? Who are they? What am I buying from these people? They do all kinds of stuff. But they just announced, I think this morning, maybe it was yesterday afternoon, that they're going to cut back on fertilizer production. And they're doing that to try to show solidarity with Germany struggling because their natural gas resources and all that kind of stuff are so cut off because they're so dependent on Russia. And it sounds all wonderful, right? But if you stop making as much fertilizer, what was the last problem that we've been talking about? That there's not enough fertilizer? So we already have a shortage of fertilizer. We're already talking about food shortages because of the shortage of fertilizer. Growing things doesn't happen overnight. You've got to do them at the right times, and you got to wait for the harvest, right? So is that the smartest move? Well, I guess if you're deciding between staying warm and fertilizer, maybe you quit making the fertilizer. So it's almost like the governments of the West and these big corporations are all in together, just squeezing us a little bit more, a little bit more. And the central banks, all raising interest rates. Federal Reserve, talking about raising interest rates again. They just did it, what, yesterday, day before? Talking about doing it again next time, maybe going up 2 or 3, maybe 3.5 points. How does that help an economy? Oh, yeah, I forgot. We're in the second day of no recession. That's right. That's right. Yep, yep. The economy will do great. It'll be awesome. Because they are smart. They know exactly what they're doing, right? Yeah, and the answer is they really do know what they're doing. they're just not on our side. They're not on America's side. They're not on Western civilization's side. Somebody told me something, Boomer, you'll appreciate this. You know how we've all kind of adopted this phrase, Western civilization? You know that's somewhat new? You know what we called it before it was Western civilization? Christendom. Think of the old days of the kings, and it was never been heard in all of Christendom. Christendom. Another one of those words that we kind of let go. Why did we let that go? You know why we let it go. I know why we let it go. I didn't realize we let it go, but it's absolutely right. We got rid of Christ's kingdom, Christendom, and we replaced it with Western civilization. It's weird how those things happen. I'll tell you another one that's weird. Find a place where the founding fathers talked about the Judeo-Christian tradition of America. See, I told you, Scott, you're always out there talking about the Christian foundations of America that you just said they didn't say it. I caught you. No, that's not what I said. I said, find me a place where the founding fathers talk about the Judeo-Christian traditions of America. Because they don't. They talk about the Christian traditions of America. Huh. How did that happen? When did we start doing that? I don't know. Maybe there's a reason. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back into the program, everybody. Golly, time has already run out. Boomer has caused me to run out of 3 hours, and I've got like 5 more hours of things I need to talk to y'all. Number one, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you letting me spend a couple of days with y'all. Appreciate y'all calling in. If you want to catch me at the last minute, it's 833-687-4448. I want to thank Phil Williams for letting me fill in, and you know, you can listen to my show anytime. Just check it out at scottbeeson.com or scottbeesonradio.com. It streams live. It'll be on again tonight. My morning show or mid-morning show will be on tonight at 7 if you want to check out scottbeesonradio.com. Ignore the news, though. I've kind of quit updating the news on that website because I get tired of it. There's bunches of sites to get the news, but I'd like you to listen to the program. Did y'all see the tax hikes? Did y'all realize that Manchin, our hero, our Democrat hero from West Virginia, has agreed to, $3 trillion worth of spending, but he'll agree to $1 trillion worth of spending. So it looks like there's going to be a reconciliation bill, and the Democrats are calling it, Boomer, you'll love this, the Inflation Reduction Act. Because they're going to fix inflation. That's one good thing Democrats are going to do. They're going to fix inflation. We're going to pass a bill that says inflation reduction, and then we're all going to go run campaign ads against Republicans saying, we did the Inflation Reduction Act. How exactly is it going to reduce inflation? Shut up. Get him out of... No. All I know is I voted for inflation reduction and Republicans voted against inflation reduction. That's all that matters. So they're going to spend almost $1 trillion. They're going to raise $739 billion over the next 10 years in taxes. And you know what else they're going to do while they're reducing inflation? They're going to reduce the debt. The debt, which is at $30 trillion, they're going to reduce the debt. Now, I figure my guess is and my prediction is that they're going to reduce the debt after they spend the $433 billion in new spending. Then that next $300 that'll come in like over the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, that part will reduce the debt. So that when we get to there, they'll pretend that they don't even know what you're talking about and they'll just spend again. But $30 trillion in debt? How much is $30 trillion? So that's, me get this right. You know, I'm trying not to do Common Core math because $30 trillion would really be five. So it's 30 trillion is a thousand million. 30,000,000,000. 30,000,000,000. So Mega Millions is a billion this week, right? The drawing will be tonight. So it's a billion. So if you do a thousand more of what the Mega Millions is, you're at a trillion, because 1,000,000,000,000 is a trillion. So 1,000,000,000,000 is a trillion. So that just tells you. So my mind perfectly understands it completely. And we're 30 of those 1,000,000,000,000s in debt. But we're going to call this the Inflation Reduction Act. But don't worry, there's some good things. They've got some good strategies. Did you know that the new head of the IRS says that there's probably $1 trillion out there that they're not collecting in taxes because, frankly, Americans are criminals, according to these people. $1 trillion in federal taxes may be going unpaid each year because of errors, fraud, and a lack of resources. So what is it going to be? What, 80? How much are they spending? The Internal Revenue Service to get another $80 billion. If you'll give us $80 billion for the tax guy, we might bring in $1 trillion. Does anybody really think if we give the IRS $80 billion, they're going to turn that into a $920 billion plus? I don't think so. It just gets better and better. And then there's one of these, I don't even know what it is. The carried interest loophole, I have no idea what it is, but they're going to fix it. So it ought to be good. I'm just glad that they're going to reduce inflation, because that's really what it's going to do. The let's see, where's that last thing? Do y'all want to hear, look, do you know who this person is? I don't know who this person is. Jeeves this morning knew who this person was, and I didn't even get to talk about it on the show. Do you know who Kat Von D is? I'm going to leave y'all with a positive. Kat Von D is apparently some world-renowned tattoo person. There was a TV show on TLC called LA Ink. Is that helping you at all? It does. It does help you. Kat Von D was the black-headed lady. Her real name was Catherine Von Drakenberg. She used to offer tarot-themed collection and a shade of black lipstick that she had named Witches. But then in January of 2020, she sold her shares in the makeup company and began covering up her tattoos. That's according to Movie Guide. An Instagram post yesterday, Von Drakenberg confessed to her followers, "I got a lot of things wrong in my past." Now, I don't know where she is spiritually, but listen to this. And I told you I want to leave you with something positive. I don't know where any of you have been going. I don't know what any of you have been going through, changes in your lives right now. But in the last few years, I've come to some pretty meaningful realizations, many of them revolving around the fact that I got into a lot of things wrong in my past. Today, I went through my entire library and threw out books that just don't align with who I am and who I want to be. That's pretty fascinating. She got rid of the books with witchcraft, etc. Hey, we gotta go. Y'all have a great one. Thanks for having me.